On the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Dan Mullen Coaches Show, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet. Findlay Chevrolet is home of the number one volume Chevy dealer west of Texas. And by Parkway Tavern, the official home of the Rebels on the road, and the Dan Mullen Coaches Show. Here we go! Now, here's your hosts, Caleb Herring, Steve Cofield, and the voice of the Rebels, Matt Neverett.
All right, let's get it going and welcome in from the George here at the Durango. It's the final episode of the Dan Mullen Coaches Show for the 2025 season. Feels like just yesterday was the middle of summer and we were getting ready for the first year under Dan Mullen. But here come the Scarlet and Gray, 9-2 through their first 11 games. The battle for the Fremont Cannon this weekend, a win against Hawaii last weekend. And we're going to get set here with Dan Mullen and Caleb Herring shortly. But you've got Steve Cofield and myself, Matt Neverett, here joining us, our live audience, enjoying not only beautiful weather, the free towel giveaway. We've got the best raffle prizes of the year. We're going to give away not only one, but two different packages per commercial break. And it's some of the best stuff of the year. We got helmets. We've got massage guns gifted to us by our friends at Shook and Stone. We've got a Modelo glass. The Fremont Cannon is here. Be sure to get your pictures and get a picture with Coach Mullen afterwards. The UNLV Dan Mullen Coaches Show presented by EOS Fitness gets underway. And Steve, it's the final game of the regular season. It's the 50th playing of the battle for the Fremont Cannon. And there is so much at stake for this year's UNLV team. Still with a bid for the Mountain West Championship game alive. We don't know what bowl yet. We don't know if the CFP is in or out of the question. A lot of unanswered questions here at the end of the regular season.
Yeah, big game on tap, a chance to go 10-2 on the season, which is an incredible feat for UNLV football. And you get to do it by potentially squashing Reno, who, if you listen to Jeff Choate this week, very jealous. We're going to get into that. Choate was talking a little trash about Las Vegas and who we are down here, and that we have everything. We have all the advantages in Las Vegas. So we'll have to run that by Coach Mullen as Jeff Choate in a season that has not been great is trying to fan the flames, get some fans out there. Are you ready? That's the question. Are you ready? You're going to be up in the booth.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
It's
Mackey Stadium.
It's going to be a little bit cold, a lot hostile. But, UNLV in this battle for the Fremont Cannon, also gunning for points as part of the Silver State Series presented by America First Credit Union. The Rebels, one of the best road teams in the country over the last 2 years, the single best Group of Five team in terms of wins over the last two seasons as well. But Reno comes into this one with as much momentum as they've had all year, back-to-back wins. They defeated San Jose State 55-10 2 weeks ago. That was a real surprise. And then a 13-7 defensive-minded showdown in Laramie against the Cowboys on the road last weekend. Jeff Choate does come into this one with a little bit of momentum.
No, they're finally playing pretty decent football, and on defense they've been okay all season. But you know the way rivalries work. And, this rivalry has been flipped the other way, too. When you're not having a great season like the Wolfpack, right, and it's been a disaster up until the last couple of weeks, this is it. This is the Super Bowl for you, right? It's your chance to potentially ruin someone else's season. They don't like us down here, up there. Choate is very much into the rivalry, so they'd love nothing better than finally extinguish any chances at the Mountain West Conference title game, and they're not going to ruin the Rebels' season. Rebels still have 9 wins, but to throw cold water all over it at the end of the season, they would love to do it.
And there's, plenty at stake, not only for UNLV and Dan Mullen's squad, but the rest of the Mountain West Conference. We don't know the matchup for the Mountain West Championship game, and there's storylines aplenty here in this final week.
So much at stake. First of all, to watch Boise State potentially lose against Utah State. That'd be great, right? Let's give that a hand, right? Boise going down. And then, how about a matchup against San Diego State in the Mountain West Conference title game down there? San Diego State and Boise State and Colorado State and Utah State and Fresno State, part of, as I've called them, the Disloyal Five. Buzz off to whatever this new pack is going to be. And UNLV gets a chance to go on the road to San Diego State, who they didn't play this year, which I'm certain they probably would have taken care of the Aztecs. But you get a chance to go down there and ruin their season on their way out to their newfangled conference. That's a dream. That is a dream matchup. So there's so much at stake, so much to play for the Rebels here, but got to get the job done, first of all, against the arch rival in the Wolfpack.
And we'll definitely recap and preview the last game and the next upcoming game. But just taking a look at the season, we're coming here to an end of the regular season.
Coach Mullen and the team had set throughout the regular season that their goal, not necessarily, although everybody wants to finish undefeated, not necessarily the goal and not the expectation to win every single game in a season, but the goal to be better at the end of the year than they were at the beginning of the year. And I think in so many ways, especially on the defensive side of the ball, we've seen them get better, but the offense has improved throughout the season. The special teams has been improved week to week. And I think that goal, and we'll get Coach Mullen's opinion on this in just a moment, but I think that goal of becoming a better team at the end of the year than they were back in August has been accomplished at the very least.
You know, every college football season is a season of ups and downs, and you certainly want to be trending up towards the end of the season, and not that many teams and not that many schools are trending up. You know, things happen, you have injuries, you suffer tough losses, confidence can wane. And in the case of the Rebels on defense, it's been a new Rebel defense the last three games. And, you know, Dan Mullen said it all along that the defense wasn't terrible. They didn't need to change up the scheme much. It was basically execution. We've got a good defense, and guys have to do their jobs. Stick to your job, right? And let others do their job if they're assigned something more important or more pointed. And they've done that the last three games. They've played a lot more disciplined. A lot of those chunk plays that were going for 20-plus yards, sometimes 50 yards, sometimes 70 yards, most of those have gone away. Most importantly, you go to the Hawaii game, when they give up a chunk play, those seem to kind of build on each other, right? And you give up multiple chunk plays. And early in the game, Hawaii got a 70-plus yard touchdown with their star wide receiver. And then from there, the defense just battened down the hatches, stayed focused. Roughly over the next 39 minutes, 100 yards total offense, a little bit less for that Hawaii run and shoot. And the way hometown hero Micah Alejado was playing, they shut him down. And the biggest thing is, I'll tell you, throughout, and you know I'm down on the sideline, so I'm talking to you guys the whole time, the intensity never waned, never. Like even when, if they stopped Hawaii, if there was a play they didn't like, oh, they were hot under the collar. They were fired up. So I love the way the defense is playing right now, and kudos to Paul Gunther for kind of sticking with what he was doing. They made some tweaks, right? You know, you saw early on they did the drop eight coverage and then eventually mixed that in here and there, but they used their base defense, the 4-2-5, and it worked out, and they're feeling good about themselves. And that's the most important thing, is confidence with that defense.
Yeah, peaking at the right time here at the end of the regular season. I got a chance to talk to Chief Borders at the press conference on Monday and ask him schematically about the defense against Hawaii in that matchup specifically. And I kind of said, hey, was there some 3-2-6 in there as well? He said, absolutely. They rolled it out. It worked effectively. And I think not only did we see guys like Mumu Bin-Wahad play well with Amaris Brown, those two usually don't share the field or the defensive backfield together, but they were able to get pressure in the backfield all day long against, you know, maybe one of the best, most spread out offenses that isn't UNLV in the conference. And they were able to get home with sometimes three or four guys on that defensive line.
Well, defensively, as I said, Dan Mullen said all year, it's just about doing your job, right? Gap integrity, assignment football. But the other thing he mentioned a lot, especially pertaining to opposing quarterbacks and the pass game, is we've got to find a way on defense to create confusion, right? Create havoc. And I think in this game, they probably did it better than they had in any other game, because you've got a kid in Micah Alejado who has run that run and shoot since he was here in high school just a few miles away. He's completely comfortable. He did not look comfortable. And then Anthony Arsenault, the OC for Hawaii, all of a sudden they're going from run and shoot to running the ball. And if you looked at the end of the game, first of all, they ran 50 plays, which is not a whole lot of plays. And then the breakdown was 24 passes and 26 runs.
That's not normal for that, man.
And they got 68 yards on the 26 runs, so everything changed up. They took Hawaii out of their game. And for that, these last three games, defensively, excellent job. Excellent job. Exactly what Dan Mullen was looking for. I think most of what he was looking for. There's always more, right, Coach?
Of what, yeah.
Yeah. It's never enough, right?
Yeah, you can always enough. Get. Well, you know, as a coach, I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about, but the answer is I'm a coach, so I'm never satisfied with whatever's going on.
We were just talking about the defense and the fact that you guys created confusion. That's what you were asking for, and it looked like Hawaii was a little thrown off in this last
game. I thought we did. We had, they put a great plan together. You're talking about one of the great, the best offenses in the league. And in Hawaii, and I think the staff came up with a plan to kind of get them out of rhythm, right? I mean, the most important thing is, how do you get a team out of rhythm? And you know, Hawaii, and they start with the throw game, and you know, we gave them a lot of looks that they were like, kind of like, we got to check, we got to run it. You know, they're giving us the looks to run it. And then we did a great job of fitting our gaps, rallying up, tackling the ball, giving them short gains. And once you get them out of rhythm, you know, especially, you know, then we start moving the ball offensively, then they're kind of stuck. You know, they're pressing to try to make things happen. We're able to get after the quarterback, get some sacks, create some confusion in both the run and pass with different blitzes, with dropping people in coverage. Yeah, I thought we played fairly well defensively, you know, and you know, it's been an interesting year defensively for sure because of that. But you know, one thing I know, when we play well, we play well, and you know, the guys will tell you that. Hey, when we fit our gaps, when we do what we're supposed to do, we're actually really good on defense, and you've seen that all season long.
We'll take a break here in a second, but wanted to ask you something else that we were talking about before you got in. Talked to Chief Borders earlier this week. We saw some 3-2-6, and you guys were still able to get home. What was the biggest thing that led you to believe that you had the confidence in your team to run that very, very conservative style defense?
Well, you know, I thought, you know, with protection, that if we could force the quarterback, you know, when you're dropping everybody into coverage, the quarterback's got to hold the ball a little bit longer. You know, and that gives us a little bit of time to rush and get home. And, you know, it's something I know that I like, you know, I mean, I look at things through the offensive eyes a lot, right? So I'm sitting there saying, okay, this guy, when he gets in a rhythm, a quarterback, they're a very rhythm passing team. You know, if you give him a quick throw to the flat or a hitch, he's going to take it. Boom, 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 boom. So how do we take that away, take the first throw that he wants to make away? Well, by dropping people into coverage, we're taking people in the lanes wherever he wants to throw the ball. He's got to hold it longer than he wants to. We're able to get home with pressure. You know, if you talk to Paul, like, he'd be like, you know, I mean, boy, you're in the NFL. They pay these guys a lot of money, these four guys, to go rush the passer. You know, so it's a little new for him. And I'm like, trust me, it'll cause them a lot of problems.
How about this? We'll take a break. We'll get settled in. We'll give away a couple of raffle prizes here at the George at the Durango. We'll bring in Caleb Herring and his awesome Christmas sweater, and we'll get Dan Mullen's opinion on the game against Hawaii and the upcoming matchup, the battle for the Fremont Cannon up in Reno this week against UNR. This is the Dan Mullen Coaches Show, and you're listening to the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Right back at it here from the George. Beautiful location here for our final Dan Mullen Coaches Show of the season. Everybody make some noise. Welcome back, Dan Mullen, here for the final show of the 2025 season. Also, welcome in Caleb Herring. Christmas sweater and all, Caleb.
Christmas sweater and all.
Great to be with you. Thanksgiving's tomorrow.
I didn't know it was a Christmas sweater day.
No. Yeah, I know. We missed it. Now, if it were Black Friday, that's one thing, but well, the day before Thanksgiving.
Officially, by rule,
yeah,
you can't. You can't go to holiday traditions on your series or whatever radio channels you listen to or whatever until Friday morning.
This is
Thanksgiving has to end.
Maybe a few times I disagree with you because Christmas starts in the Herring household at November 1st.
That is fair.
Yeah, but it's Thanksgiving. It so you just skip Thanksgiving?
It's a part of the holiday season. Okay, you can lump it in there. The decorations all apply. Food is basically the same for both holidays. I'm just really excited about Christmas. Obviously, my kids.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, are you on, though? I hope. Though a lot of people, to me, they do the wrong thing, right? It stays way past Christmas Day.
Yeah, that's where I will draw a proverbial line. It's you got to take the decorations down.
When? Like January 8th, right?
Somewhere in there.
At least.
Yeah, yeah. I go on the Disney calendar here. Like Disney, when Disney's in Christmas mode, I'm in Christmas mode.
Well, with the Mickey Mouse sweater, yeah.
Well, is it like, figured. Is it, you know, growing up, like Three Kings Days when it comes down? If you go old school.
For some people, it's Boxing
Day. If you're like
day.
The solar calendar.
No, like that. See, now that's wrong. Christmas, like a lot of people. I grew up with more and like that in like the British style. The Christmas tree goes up Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And then stays through Three Kings Day. It's not the whole.
That's really
that's the one thing. Like, yeah. Like I mean, we do that. We rush through. Like the day Christmas is over, everyone's like, oh, it's done. Like, yeah. I mean. Why rush through it?
There's some meat left on that holiday bone.
Yeah, must there be. Certainly is.
Must be a New England
It's bowl season, right? It's the most wonderful time of the year.
That's exactly what it is.
We'll enjoy some food tomorrow. The Running Rebels, by the way, taking on Rutgers in the final game of the Players Era Championship.
That's a big
tomorrow.
One. That's a big We played really well against Maryland, I thought.
Yeah.
Right? And the other day and battled them. And then, I mean, obviously, to play really tough in a tough game with Maryland and to show up the next day against Alabama.
Yeah.
Kind of brutal stretch.
It's, that's I was going to say maybe you wanted them first so you're a little fresher, but that might have worn you down for the next
one.
Really, but,
the Rebels playing at a high pace this season.
Yeah, 11th fastest pace in the country.
Yeah,
so that'll be. We like to score.
1:30 tip-off tomorrow. Our Runner Rebel warm-up pregame show starts at 1 on ESPN Las Vegas. But want to get your thoughts on some more of that Hawaii matchup from last week, the big 38-10 win, dominant performance defensively. And in the last two seasons, the Rebels, rather, 20-5.
We're running. We score a lot of points, too.
They are. It's the eighth most wins in all of college football over the last 2 years. The most wins of any Group of Five team belongs to UNLV. And that 20th win over the last 2 years kept the Golden Pineapple right here in Las Vegas with the win over Hawaii. I want to start with the crowd. Biggest attended game of the year here at Allegiant Stadium. Over 37,000 in the house. You talked about it on the day. You talked about it in your press conference. The players talked about it at nauseam. What that atmosphere was like for them on the field.
It was awesome. You know, and you see the crowd. We feed off the crowd. One, I always view this, right? It kind of starts with the band. The band into the student body to the crowd the energy to the players, and the players play to that level of energy. And that's why the crowd is so important. And I think you saw that during the game. Especially in the first half. You know, I mean, in that first half, that crowd was electric in that first half. Once we started to pull away, you know, they started having more fun, if you will. Right, which we got to educate them, right, that when we're on offense, that is a be quiet offense at work zone. And I'm like sitting out there like we're like trying to call plays. Our guys are like struggling in the line of scrimmage. I look like I'm not paying attention. I'm like, what is going on? It's all loud. It's getting super loud. And they're doing the wave around the stadium, which was kind of cool with the exception of we were on offense. Yeah, and right. As you know, as a quarterback.
He was silently going nuts in the booth, by the way. Caleb was
like,
losing
like,
his
were
mind.
Were you like, yeah,
it's like, quiet down.
We're offense at work here. Offense at work here.
Yeah.
But no, that's what we want to get to. You know, I mean, we want that buy-in, right, from the fans, the energy. I think this, part of it comes to is everybody that was at that game and all the Rebel fans, everybody in Las Vegas, and they feel that energy and that excitement. They feel what it is to be a part of big-time college football, how fun, what a great family experience it is to be in that crowd. Hopefully they decide, hey, I want to be back. I want to keep coming back more and more. And it becomes a thing of you only get that opportunity six times a year. I mean, you get to experience that only six times a year. And if it's something that, you know, when you get and you look and you say, hey, you know, you go to different parts of the country. Like, well the SEC, it's like crazy. Their fans are well, they because they only get to experience it six times a year, and it's a tradition that's been passed on from generation to generation that, you know, hey, I don't want to miss those opportunities, and we want to build this program where that's where it is here, where, you know, I mean, we play at Allegiant Stadium. It's a great environment. As you said, we're a winning program. You know, more families and generations start coming to games, and all of a sudden it's, hey, you know, hey, I went to the game with my mom and dad. I went to the game with my friends. I did this, and, hey, I want to make sure my kids experience this. And that is eventually, now it might take us 15 years to get to that level. I hope it doesn't, like at SEC, where all of a sudden you show up at a Rebel game and, oh there's 60,000 at every game because it's you don't want to miss that experience.
Yeah, UNLVtickets.com, UNLVtickets.com for all your future tickets coming up. We still got plenty more to go. Step aside, be back in a moment here on the Dan Mullen Coaches Show. You're listening to the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Back here on the Dan Mullen Coaches Show on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. The UNLV Sports Network proudly presented by EOS Fitness. Get off the sidelines and into EOS Fitness, a proud partner of UNLV, featuring premium amenities, including their turf functional training area, Movio Cinema, and much more. Join now for as low as $9.99 a month at joineos.com. EOS Fitness, where there's a will. Along with the former Rebel quarterback Caleb Paring and Steve Cofield, I'm Matt Never, joined by the head coach of the UNLV Rebels, Mr. Dan Mullen, getting set for the battle for the Fremont Cannon, 50th playing between UNLV and UNR this weekend. We'll preview the matchup here coming up, but wanted to talk a couple more points about that Hawaii win, a 38-10 domination, where the only touchdown and the only time that Hawaii came close to the red zone was on their first touch, first time they touched the ball offensively. Ramon Vilela kicked the field goal to open the scoring, and then a 72-yard touchdown on the catch and run by Jackson Harris. And then that was it. Hawaii amassed a total of 231 yards for the entire game. And on the sideline, it really didn't seem like that big play, that 70-plus yarder, had any kind of impact as to what you guys were doing.
Obviously, it was frustrating, right? You have one guy playing cover two, one guy playing cover three, right? And I guess if the right guy had played cover three and the other guy, if they had both played, if they had played it opposite, we would have had two guys standing there to pick the ball.
Transitive property, yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, it was one of those that the corner played cover two, the safety played cover three. If the corner played cover three and the safety cover two, it would have been a pick. No, on that missed assignment. But, you know, I think it's frustrating, but it is great to see is, you know, you look at some of the other games we've played where we've had multiple times where we've let that kind of bother us and the communication breakdowns and the mistakes we made, make a mistake in that first series, and that's about it for the day. I think we had a couple others here and there, but very minor, that we rallied and tackled the guy with our fits and what happened. And so, you know, that was pretty good, you know. And then, obviously, I think the response by the offense to play with a lead, right? You know, we've had a couple weeks where now we play with a lead. And once, you know, I think you start seeing, when we start playing with a lead, you start really seeing the confidence of what this team can be and what we're like and how we really get rolling in all three phases.
Yeah, I think it was really exciting to see all of the phases of football come together. That was probably the longest stretch that we've seen this year. You said something, I wish I would have clocked it, about 4 weeks ago. I think going into the Colorado State game, and the questions, the concerns about the defense all season long were kind of hovering over that game. I said, what is it that you want to see to finish the year from the defensive unit? And you said, I think something's just going to click. And then we're going to figure it out. Nothing crazy is going to, no personal, nothing crazy.
Yeah, we did.
Just click. And it seems like this is the culmination of that click. The defense for the last 3 weeks has had their best stretch of the season. Is that kind of what you feel?
Yeah, because, you know, when we're watching it, as a coach, I mean, it's one of the most frustrating things you can go through. And you're like, you know, I mean, it could very easily hit the panic button.
Right.
Right? And like, but, you know, like, oh, okay, we got to just scrap everything. And you're watching it and you're saying, you know, it's critical errors that are killing us with explosive plays. But then there's chunks where we really play well. And so it was kind of one of those of the patience, I guess, to not hit the panic button. That's helped us,
yeah,
you know, down this stretch. And, you know, I don't know if I would have been able to do that 10 years ago as a coach. It's that experience of looking at it and saying, okay, we got an itch over here. We got a scratch, right? But we don't have a breakout of poison ivy right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And so how do we just scratch the itch without the dead panic of we have to, like, the whole thing's just a disaster?
Yeah, we touched on it also. It helps the defense when you're playing complementary football. And I think this is one of those times where the offense actually helped out a lot. Playing with the lead, scoring on the first four possessions of the football game, obviously played a big part. And you got some guys that are over there balling. Some guys, obviously, Andy Calandra gets a lot of attention. His fourth offensive player of the week in the Mountain West Conference. But you got guys as well like Tayshaun Lyons who have developed as the season's gone, who I'm personally a fan of him and his game. I've watched him in warm-ups every day, and I love the way he moves, his body of work that he's putting together, the focus and earning the reps, and then he gets a big-time touchdown in the game.
You see, guys, and you know what? And in today's world, I give Tayshaun a lot of credit. He's a guy who came in. We're his third school in 3 years. And I sat down with him, and I said, hey, Tay, if you worry about development, you're going to turn into a great player that you expect to be. If you're worried about anything else but every day just your development, next year you probably end up at your fourth school in 4 years and your career will be over. And now, you know how hard that is? He was a highly recruited kid out of high school.
Right.
To sit there and I said, don't worry about your touches. Don't worry about your catches. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about how many plays you even play in a game. Just worry about getting better. And to his credit, there was a funny story early in the year. We're at Miami of Ohio, and he was pouty on the sidelines. I don't know, he ain't gotten in much. And in one of those TV timeouts, walk by. I say, "You pouty?" And you could just see, right? I said, "You better get that pout off your face, or I'm not going to let you play anymore at all today. So get that pout off your face."
Right.
And I sat there with him for a minute. I said, "What did I tell you?" I said, "Don't worry about anything, but just get better. And if you're in the game, work hard and get better." 4 plays later, he had a touchdown catch.
That's beautiful.
You saw him. It was the first touchdown, I think. And he just ran off the field right away. And I'm just shaking my head looking at him because he knew he couldn't. He better catch and run off the field after that. And it's just a great story, though, because, one of the things in this transfer for portal world that goes on that gets lost for a lot of the players, and I feel bad for them, is the development.
Yeah.
It's, okay, I'm not getting the ball. I got to transfer here. I got to, instead of just, worry about what stage am I at in my career? Am I developing me? Am I progressing to where I can become a great player as I grow? And if you just worry about that, you're going to have success. And we have a lot of guys on our team that have done that this year, and he's a great example of it.
One of those guys that's been at a couple of different schools in a couple of years has been Jake Pope, another highly recruited guy out of school that's on his third year. And he had his first career INT in the win against Hawaii. And it's got to be so great for you to see a guy like that finally get rewarded for all his hard work.
It is. And, it goes to that same story. He's played a lot, had a lot of tackles. We've had a bunch of interceptions this year. He hasn't had them. But I know for him, that was a big play. Off a tip pass, and Trey Fulton, who's another guy that's really working and developing, and you look at the future of these guys and you say, okay, hey, you guys keep working, keep taking those steps, worry about things that are important, great things happen to you. And I think that's been a big part of our success. And it goes back to everything within it, from the beginning, which is worry about development, worry about getting better. Defensively, I wish y'all, when you talked about, the defense getting better, the lack of panic on the team kind of made it even easier. The defensive guys are like, yeah, we see the mistakes. The offensive guys are like, yeah, coach, we just got to score more. And, it wasn't like, oh, there's something wrong. And with all of that, the guys are like, coach, let's worry about getting better. We're worried about getting better. And, we've been able to do that. I said, our goal coming into the year is be a better team at the end of the year than beginning of the year. That was it. That's all. We can control that, right? Great teams peak in November.
Right.
Great teams are playing their best football in November. And hopefully, last couple weeks we're starting to do that. And hopefully, we do kind of peak this week, final game of the season. And you're playing your best football the final game of the season.
And you're a baseball guy, so the analogy is apt that you want to be playing your best ball in baseball going into the postseason.
That's it.
It rings true here, and it really seems on both sides of the ball that your team is doing that. 17 sacks defensively in the last 4 games. You had 1 sack in the previous 4 games, so that's evidence right there. Offense continually putting up 30-plus points, and you've got to feel like you're swelling as a team in the right time.
We didn't get the extra point in the overtime game. We never talk about that. That broke our streak.
I saw it.
I'm running out. Yeah. Trust me. I was celebrating. I'm throwing my head, and I run off the field. I'm like, shoot, if we could have kicked that extra point.
That's when you're like, bring them back
what's
out.
What's the rule there? Is it necessary?
You're like, coach, you sure? Yes, I am.
Yeah, we really want to kick that extra point.
But it was a dominating win, and we'll put a bow on this Hawaii game. That second half, it seemed like it was a mindset thing defensively of we're not only going to let them score, we're not going to let them get close. Again, Hawaii did not reach the red zone in the whole game.
It was a great second half by the defense. There was that little stretch in there. We're giving them the ball on the plus side of the field. We kind of started stubborn. We were back to the wall. We had some – we had the opposite. We made the mistakes on offense. We had a penalty. We had a back one of our back, went the wrong way on a play. And all of a sudden, we're just out of sync offensively. And there was opportunities for the them to get back into it, and the defense just completely slammed the door, and then the offense came right back to life, and kind of put the game out of reach. And I'm really proud at the end of the game. We got a lot of guys in that game, but there's the pride to not let them score on the defensive side of the ball, and to put the game away on offense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to really try to drive the field and, like, hey, even though we got all our backups are in, hey, get the first downs. We're going to move the chains. Let's put the game away offensively. And really proud of our guys trying to do that there at the end.
I will say, it's a great feeling for any coaching staff and any team to be able to do that, empty out the bench at the end of a game. But for us up in the booth, Caleb and Cofield know that I am meticulous in my prep. I've got my game boards right in front of me. I don't think in the couple of years I've been doing the games here that I've called as much of a game by holding the roster and looking up and down at all the numbers. Because you just can't put the whole roster on the sheet.
Yeah,
so I'm
yeah.
sitting there looking at the roster, you know, these random numbers that we haven't seen. But
there goes Roger Gray. And,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Cam Williams, they're getting the carry.
But that's not only good for those guys to get those opportunities, as is obvious, but for the team and the camaraderie, you see that support, and it's almost like in a basketball game, you see that guy at the end of the bench get in, and everyone's more excited than they normally would be.
Well, because the guys on the they know the work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, as a player, right, those guys put in as much work as the starters. They just don't get the reward of playing all the time.
It's more of a grind almost because you don't get the reward. It is
a total grind. And so I think the pride of the team and the pride of those guys, I mean, hey, they're on the field.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it is. I don't care if you're the last walk-on down the bench, right? You know, 30 years, 40 years from now, he's sitting there with his grandkids. You know, here's a championship ring from UNLV.
Right.
Like, you played football? Like, you didn't play football. Like, hold on. Let me get out my VHS tape or what I, right? That'll be the equivalent of whatever they got 40 years
pull
from
up
now.
YouTube. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They'll be like, boom, here it is. There I am on the field playing.
All right, Grandpa, let's get you back to bed. Yeah. Well, we got still a couple more segments to go. We might talk a little bit of Thanksgiving food. We're certainly going to talk about the UNR Wolfpack and the battle for the Fremont Cannon this weekend. We'll also talk about a little press conference storyline coming up. This is the Dan Mullen Coaches Show here on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Along with Caleb Herring and Steve Cofield, Matt Never with you with the Dan Mullen Coaches Show. It's going to be a fun weekend, Caleb. Should be a little bit of a chill up in Reno at the stadium playing host. A 6 o'clock kickoff. Our Ted Wiens pregame show starts at 5 on ESPN Las Vegas and the Varsity Network app. Your memories, Caleb, of playing in this Fremont Cannon rivalry?
I have the full swing of memories. I redshirted and I got to travel. I was on the travel squad the first time we went up there. And that's when I got awakened to the rivalry in terms of the hatred. We had coins thrown at us. I'm just going to say it on air. I don't like Reno. So we had coins thrown at us from
you're in the right place.
The section. If you notice, Coach, when you come, you'll see that there's a tinted area over the visitors' locker room entrance. That was because of that game, right? So Reno really showed us that they can be hostile up there. I also have the memory of playing my worst collegiate football game at Mackey Stadium. I threw 8 passes and completed 1 and threw an interception on my first throw. And that was my sophomore year, and I'll never forget it. It was the embarrassment of my career. And then I had my senior season. I went up there and threw for 350, 3 touchdowns, and brought the Cannon back from Mackey Stadium for the first time in 13 years at the time. And we got to paint that Cannon red, and that was my last memory up in Reno as a player. And that was probably my piece de resistance in my career. I think that was a full circle moment as you can get. The Cannon's been red quite a lot over the past decade, and I'm grateful for that. Scarlet looks really good over there right now. And I'm sure she'll look even better with a fresh coat of red paint when she comes back after Saturday. So I'm excited for this game. Obviously, there's a potential for this game to be even bigger. I think the Las Vegas community and obviously the Reno community understand it for what it is, the biggest trophy in all of college sports. So that's awesome in and of itself. But I think with what's going on in the conference, after Friday's chaos, there could be potential for this to be the biggest game of the Mountain West season with the implications that it has. And I think that's all the more sweet to make for a good rivalry game and going up there and rubbing it in a little harder, if you will. So I'm excited. I'm fired up for Reno week.
Rebels going for their 4th straight win in the battle for the Fremont Cannon. And Coach, it really can't be understated locally and up into the northern part of the state what this rivalry means to so many people. For you, it's been easy, I'm sure, to pick up, hey, this is a big deal to a lot of folks. But when you first took the job, was there anybody in particular that kind of schooled you to the game, so to speak, kind of sat you down and said, hey, here's kind of the history of what's going on?
Well, I don't know if anybody's specific. I think you understand. Like, I've coached for a long time. So you understand the different types of rivalries. There's different types of rivalries that are out there, right? We talked about last week's, which was a trophy game rivalry.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't like the respect between the teams and it's and the fan bases, and it's a big game, which makes it a rivalry
That's
game.
That's as close to a friendly rivalry as UNLV has, yeah.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, if we have two, or if there's only two trophy games.
you're right.
But when you're an in-state rival, it's just different. It just hits different. No matter where you are, what you do, it just hits different. And it's all you can see that all around the country. Those rivals that are neighbor against neighbor and bragging rights for a year makes it a much bigger game, right? I mean, because it makes it personal. And, you know, I think that is understanding that. I mean, I understood that coming in because I've been a part of a whole bunch of them. And, you know, and some are like this state against that state rivalry game, and then some are like neighbor against neighbor.
Yeah.
And I don't know that – I want to say it one's big – you're not – it's hard to say this rivalry is bigger than this one.
They're different.
It just makes it different and more personal when it's an in-state neighbor-to-neighbor rival.
So you've played in some of the biggest or coached in some of the biggest rivalry games in the country – Florida, Georgia, the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. When you were at Utah, BYU is another big one that I don't think not enough people nationally know about it. Yeah. What in your opinion, has been the most hostile rivalry that you've been around previously?
Well, the Holy War is a crazy one. That is a big, that is a nasty one. Utah, BYU. Obviously, Mississippi, Mississippi State against, as I would say, the school up north.
Yeah.
The other school up north, yeah.
We called them the school up north back then, never said their name. Certainly, that is the biggest. I mean, that is such a big game to everybody in the state. It meant so much because it is. I mean, it is neighbor to neighbor. I mean, we'd be like, hey. You know, I mean, I can't, like, hey, after the game, like, I can't go to church because I don't want to see those people.
Right. After what just happened. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's personal.
Yeah.
So that was always a big one. I'm excited to be a part of this one. Rivalries are what make college football special, right? They bring a little extra edge, and they make it a lot of fun. And that it's one of the things that makes college football unique and special is the craziness of the rivalry games, and I'm really excited to be a part of it.
It's really fun to look at the schedule, just looking at it, kind of see all the state names that are the same that are playing this week because it is rivalry week.
Yeah, blank versus state.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing. It's fun. Do you think, though, in this kind of new evolution of college football, as we figure out what it is going forward, that – things like the transfer portal take away from the rivalry in a sense, because you don't get as invested. Like I said, I had the full career turnaround because I was here for all four.
I think the hatred part of it, maybe. I don't think it takes away from the rivalry because guys have been in the game, in big game. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you get out there. Our guys understand this is a big game for a rivalry game. They understand it's big, right? And they're sitting there saying, hey, I've played in Alabama, Auburn. Hey, I've played in Mississippi State, Ole Miss. I've played in the Florida, Georgia game. I've played in rivalry games before.
Right.
And, you know, when you have that, you know, I mean, you got, like, look at Alex Orge. I mean, he's played. I played Michigan, Ohio State. I understand, but big games are all about rivalries. You know, we're laughing about that one today. So I think the understanding is there. I think sometimes it does maybe, in somewhat could be a positive way, can drop some of the, like, absolute hatred, right?
And then just play football.
Like, between some of the players sometimes, mm-hmm. you know? But I certainly don't think it takes away from the intensity of it.
Well, we're going to preview the matchup between UNLV and UNR on the other side of our final break. We've got our final raffle prizes of the night. We appreciate everybody coming out and joining us live here at the George at the beautiful Durango Resort. We're going to come back with our final segment of the final episode of the 2025 Dan Mullen Coaches Show next here on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Winner, we got our final raffle prize winner. And why not have that final one going out over the air? That was the
you got to be here live to get in on the raffle. You got it, and there's great stuff. You're missing out if you're not. You weren't here at the George tonight.
A little peek behind the curtain.
What a great scene.
This is a great venue.
Fantastic.
This is an awesome venue. Hey, this is our third different venue in 3 weeks for this show. We were at Parkway Tavern a couple of weeks ago. We were at
basketball.
Thomas and Mack last week.
And not many programs, not many locations could be outside in late November.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Enjoying the patio air.
I've gotten to enjoy the George before. I lived here at Durango for 10 days.
There you go.
There you go.
Transition days, yeah.
In my transition. I think I was right. I was in these seats right here watching the NCAA tournament.
There you go.
On these screens.
You guys picked the right seat.
Yeah, we had some great seats here at the George. I was living here.
Yeah, it's one of the better sports venues to come and watch. There's sports everywhere, screens everywhere. The massive big screen over here that we're sitting under. It's a great venue, and fortunate that Vegas plays host to some of these massive tournaments and these kind of venues. So, yeah, the George. Thanks, everybody, for coming out, making it even better, more special with Rebel fans in here as we get ready for the final game of the year. That it's going to be a build-up, a crescendo to, I think, what's going to be a great year and trying to get to win number 10.
Yeah. 6 o'clock kickoff, 5 o'clock Ted Wiens pregame show on ESPN Las Vegas. All right, let's get into this matchup, Coach.
Yeah.
The matchup starts on Monday, realistically, between any two teams, but especially in a rivalry game. You get the
really
press conference notes.
It's really Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. You get the press conference going back and forth. I'm sure you've seen the news clippings and the quotes about what's going on between Jeff Choate and his feelings about UNLV as a program. That head coach rivalry, also a big factor in these games as well.
Yeah, he was like complaining, like he's got a Toyota Tundra from Finley Toyota or something like that, right? Of that he drives around it, and I drive a Lamborghini or something, something like that. But I heard some of it. Like I don't hear all that. I just get snippets or someone's like, hey, because you're really game planning. Did he give anything relative,
say something right.
Anything like who's not playing or like they're not going to give away a lot of strategy in there, so we check it. But, I heard he was pretty complimentary of our program and how great UNLV is and how, the great support we have from our administration, from our fan base, getting, our home stadium. He was very complimentary of all of it. And so that was nice of him.
It's an interesting matchup as well because the Wolfpack only score 17.5 points a game, but they're pretty solid defensively. Lineman.
But then, like 3 weeks ago, they scored 50 something against San Jose. So they've changed a little bit though.
Yeah.
This second half of the season, they've changed what they do offensively.
It's the two quarterback system, right?
Yep. Yeah, they play with the two quarterbacks. You can see that. I think they were probably struggling some different things going on early on, and. So they changed what they're doing, they've changed their system offensively. You look at last week's game, a lot of ball control, want to eat up the clock, shorten the game. They're very good physical defensive team. If they limit the number of possessions and play ball control, that's the type of team they've been, and they want to be in low scoring battles.
And one of the things that you've said this week, and you said getting ready for both of these last rivals, you can throw the records out of the window. People are going to look at that and say, we should dominate this game. The emotions, the feeling that they would be chasing to kind of spoil the Rebel season would throw that out of the books, especially because, like you said, the second half of the season, they're playing a better brand of football. So
I've been on both sides of it. And I'm sure I've been on the side where we're the underdog trying to knock off our rival. I've been on the side where we're the favorite, and we're the team playing for a lot, and your rival's trying to ruin it for you. And, like you said, you throw the record out, and, we got to come in. We talk to our guys. We got to come in and play. Like, we got to come in and execute. We got to pay attention to the details. We got to do the things that, when we talk about, hey, we played our most complete game of the season last week. Well, we got to play even better this week. To hit our goal of getting better from 1 week to the next, our preparation has to be better at practice all week, leading into the game. And anytime they're at home, so they're going to be playing with all the emotion, trying to steal our cannon.
Yeah, trying to keep the cannon red. One of the big enforcers, I would say, disruptors, probably a better term on their defense, Dylan LaBarbera, a legitimate All-American contender and a guy
really
who's been
is.
In the backfield.
Yeah, you don't see he plays that defensive end outside backer spot for him. You rarely see a guy that leads the team in tackles, that also leads the team in tackles for loss, that also leads the team in sacks, that's playing that position. You know, and like as you mentioned, I mean, he, you know, has to be one of the top guys for Defensive Player of the Year in the league. You know, and plays, you know, I mean, not just the talent, he plays with energies, you know, and he can wreak havoc on a game.
And when it comes to game planning for this one, you know, as the season progresses, obviously you've got more and more tape. How do you balance watching the recent tape where they've had more success versus trying to see some things maybe they showed at the beginning of the year that they've been keeping in the back pocket?
Well, you're kind of going through everything, seeing what they did, how they had success, how people attacked them, how they adjusted to people attacking them, you know, what adjustments they've made throughout the year. You know, and then you're looking and you know yourself and saying, hey, they're going to – hey, you know, I mean, here's things we do really well. Here's things they've done to stop that. And, okay, so we can expect them trying to do the things that, you know, that's the chess game, right? What are they going to do to stop what we've done really well? And then how can we attack that to take advantage of what they're doing? And that's really on both sides of the ball.
I think you mentioned it in the post game, and I'm excited for this, is you can't take any plays into the offseason. And so I'm excited.
No.
You know, the weeks are dwindling
right?
down here.
Well, I mean, you got to say, I mean, yeah, you got, right? The fake punts, the kickoff, like everything.
It's all coming out.
Let them all go, yeah.
Yeah, you can't bring them to the offseason with you, so you got to let it go.
Coach, we got about 30 seconds here on the show. Thanksgiving plans. I understand you're playing hostess with the mostest tomorrow.
Yeah, I talked to the team, and I said, hey, you know, hey, we have this, right? We do, like, families, or you have time off. We're going to practice in the morning. How do you guys want to do Thanksgiving dinner? You want to cater it to the facility? Do you want to go to a hotel? You want to, and they kind of came out with, we'd like to have it at your house. So I think we have 75 to 80 players at the house for Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, Miss Megan over here is going to be very, very busy. She's catching her breath tonight, but she'll have it all cranked up for tomorrow for all the players.
That's Sounds awesome. Good. Caleb Cofield and I will make sure to be there. Don't worry about us. Don't worry about us. Well, that's going to do it for this episode and this year of the Dan Mullen Coaches Show. Want to thank Steve Cofield. Want to thank the former Rebel quarterback, Caleb Herring. We want to thank you, the fans and the listeners, for keeping us active all year long. For head coach Dan Mullen, I'm Matt Nevertsink. Thanks so much. UNLV takes on UNR this Saturday. 6 o'clock kickoff, 5 o'clock Ted Wien's pregame show. That's going to do it for us tonight on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
Listening to the Dan Mullen Coaches Show, brought to you by Parkway Tavern, the official home of the Rebels on the road, and the Dan Mullen Coaches Show, and by Findlay Chevrolet. Findlay Chevrolet is home of the number one volume Chevy dealer west of Texas. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the UNLV Sports Network.